Welcome to Behind the Investigation with Atlanta News First Investigates. I'm Chief Investigator Brendan Keefe, and I'm joined by investigative reporter Andy Perotti. And the story we're talking about today, Andy, is one that is about justice. It's about freedom. And I think more than anything, it is about freedom because as a direct result of your reporting, again, I'm going to say it, you're not going to say it, but it led to a man getting his day in court, and now that man is free.
Yeah, we're talking about Maurice Jemerson. He was arrested in 2013 for double murder, along with four other people. All of his co-defendants had their day in court years ago. He waited behind bars for 10 years for his trial date. We helped him eventually get a private attorney to take on his case for free. And we were there finally when he got out of jail. Maurice Jemerson is a free man.
Oh, God.
Greeted by his family Wednesday afternoon as he walked out of the Daugherty County Jail, including his daughter. It's their first hug in nearly 11 years.
How's it feel to be out and see your mom and your daughter?
Little girl, man. Little girl, man. Yeah. See, I ain't gonna cry in jail.
It's okay to cry.
Wednesday afternoon, Maurice pleaded guilty to aggravated assault and possession of a firearm as part of a negotiated plea deal with the district attorney's office. Albany police arrested Maurice and four others for double murder in May 2013. Nearly all of his co-defendants were acquitted by juries years ago, but Maurice remained in jail for more than 10 years, waiting for his day in court, delayed due to the pandemic, a flood in the courthouse, and no attorney working on his behalf. His case, believed to be one of the longest pretrial detentions in American history.
Nobody talks about it. There is no news coverage.
His mother spoke to Atlanta News First nearly a year ago, desperate for help.
Nobody's listening. It's been 10 years, and nobody has listened.
Attorney Andrew Fleischman heard about Maurice's case on Atlanta News First and offered to represent him for free.
Well, you don't need a law degree to know there's something wrong here. We're not supposed to punish them until after a jury has found beyond a reasonable doubt that they're guilty of something.
2 months later, Maurice finally got his day in court, but the case ended in a mistrial because the jury could not reach a verdict.
Ain't no moving on, you know, man, that's my baby.
Desmond Williams is one of the two men who died in the 2013 shooting involving Maurice's arrest. In July, his parents said they wanted justice and another trial.
I'm holding on, because I said that I promised my son that I was going to hold on to the end.
After the mistrial, Maurice went back to jail until Wednesday. More than a decade after his arrest, the 33-year-old is home. He and his mother attribute today's release on our reporting.
We would still be stuck from the beginning. And I thank you so much, Andy. We would not be here if it were not for you.
Andy, it's such powerful reporting. And before we talk further about it, I do want to make one point that sometimes people forget. We're not talking about someone who was already convicted, mm-hmm. who was appealing. This was essentially awaiting a trial. And at that point, you're innocent until proven guilty. This could quite literally happen to any of us, right?
Yeah. And the whole reason why we took on this story, why we profiled this story is not, it had nothing to do with Jemerson's guilt or innocence. It's that he was suffering the consequences of a broken criminal justice system that was violating his constitutional rights, in particular, the Sixth Amendment, the right to a speedy trial and the right to an attorney if you can't afford one.
Makes perfect sense. Now, the district attorney has responded to this entire incident and this recent development, correct?
Yeah. So the day after Jemerson was released, he issued a statement, a press release, essentially confirming all the facts. But he had qualms with saying that Jemerson was in jail for 10 years awaiting trial. Here's the context, the important context that our viewers need to know. He was behind bars for more than 10 years, actually 10 years and 10 months, awaiting trial and never convicted. Those are the facts. He was in jail the vast majority of that time. Now, he did spend some time in prison for an offense that he committed while he was in jail, a minor felony,
which is why it was a year or around that time. And then he came back to jail. But 10 years, 10 months behind bars, waiting for his day in court, waiting for a conviction. That's the bottom line for this story.
And we didn't really take a position on his guilt or innocence, because obviously, it, you know, if he was guilty, there's also, you know, justice delayed is justice denied for the family in that case. But it is important to point out that he maintains his innocence. And at this point, he's a free man. And that's the end of the case.
Yeah, that's right. And he is free, meaning that he's out of jail, but he's going to be subject to probation for 19 years. And during that time, he will not be able to come back to his home county where his family lives, where his daughter lives. And 45 days after his release, the judge said, you have 45 days to find yourself a place to live. So he really is facing an uphill battle to get his life to where he really can thrive. So yes, free from out of jail, but he's got many hurdles ahead of him.
It's fascinating. It's almost like an inverse house arrest. You're allowed to be everywhere but home, which is pretty startling. But the alternative would have been perhaps a trial, perhaps a guilty verdict, you know, regardless. And he could have ended up incarcerated. It's also important to point out that part of this deal was sort of credit for time served, right?
Yeah. So it was an original sentence of 30 years and he had time served, which again was almost 11 years. So do the math. And that's where that 19 years probation comes from.
And he wouldn't have had this opportunity without that pro bono attorney. And that pro bono attorney would not have taken the case unless you had, you know, if you had not exposed this.
Right. And as soon as that attorney took on his case, he had a trial within 3 months. It was fascinating that for 8 months he was languishing in jail. He even sent the judge a postcard saying, I need a public defender. I need my day in court. She claims she never saw that.
Wow. And this is why the Sixth Amendment is so important, as you've pointed out now in your 2 years of reporting on it, which has just been extraordinary because, you know, it without that counsel, without a representative who knows the law, to be able to file things like not really a speedy trial notice, but like a charge or release kind of motion, without that kind of legal expertise, people are literally right now, as we speak, languishing in jail, awaiting trial for crimes of which they have not been convicted.
That's right. And I also think it's important to recognize that the judge in this case, the judge who was assigned this case, it should have some sort of accountability in this. And here's why. Like when a judge is assigned a case, they're supposed to make sure that that case gets seen by a jury, that person has their day in court in a timely manner, not to languish in jail. Where was she in this process? Was she reaching out to the district attorney's office saying, hey, what's the update on this? Was she doing it once a week, once a month? How often was she doing it? Was she going to the attorney, Jimerson's attorney, the one that left him? Why wasn't she reaching out to him saying, hey, what's the update on this case? 10 years and it not getting a trial is, in many legal experts' minds, just not acceptable.
You know, and without an attorney, it strikes me it's very hard to communicate with the outside world to get help. You know, you and I, because of our jobs, have been in many jails. And the one thing I've noticed, I'm sure you have too, is as you're walking to your destination, the interview you're doing or the video you're getting for whatever the story is inside a jail, there are all these people trying to get your attention. Hey, look at my case. Yep. I'm innocent. I didn't do it. In fact, almost everybody says they're innocent, and it's impossible to tell who really is or who's just saying that. And that's why they need counsel, because they need due process.
They need due process. They need someone to look at their case as soon as possible, to collect evidence, to interview witnesses. There are people sitting in jail, likely innocent, people that we profiled in similar stories, that waited years for their day in court. And when they finally had their trial, it was so clear that the district attorney's office did not have enough evidence, that they shouldn't even have been charged to begin with. That's why you need that attorney early on to find those things out, to present it to a judge, to see if the case could be dismissed, or to point out to the district attorney, you don't have anything really on this case and it needs to be dismissed, or you need to come up with a plea deal immediately.
Well, let me wrap up, Andy, by saying it is an absolute privilege to work alongside of you. You're an investigative reporter at the top of his game, doing fantastic work with all of the people behind the scenes as well who've been involved in these stories. You are quite literally fighting for truth every single day, and it is an honor to see you work so hard and so diligently on behalf of the voiceless. You've been watching and listening to Behind the Investigation with Atlanta News First Investigates. I'm Chief Investigator Brendan Keefe, who, alongside with Andy Perotti, investigative reporter, have brought you this report. You can listen to this wherever you get your podcasts and stream it on YouTube and Atlanta News First Plus.